Well, it's Wednesday. It's 1 December. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Wednesday CG Report. State of decline. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, well, we've got a category I'd like to read you first today. I did this last week. It was just a little section I entitled Died Suddenly, and I decided to follow through with it again this week. And so this is typing in Died Suddenly into the Google search engine. This is what came up over the past few days, and I'm not saying that all of these people died from the COVID shot. But there were lots and lots of others, and they all said why they died or, you know, the circumstances around their death. These did not. And so we can only guess this, but here are some of the died suddenlies from the past 7 days. From the Washington Post obituaries, Geraldine Therese O'Connell Pitzinger, November 30th, 1973 to November 20th, 2021. Geraldine Pitzinger died suddenly, but peacefully in her sleep on November 20th, 2021. From The Independent, this is from 11/24. Jerry Hollowell's brother, Max, dies suddenly at age 54. The singer's sibling is believed to have collapsed in his home. From The Mirror, 11/24. Family heartbroken as boy, too, with most beautiful smile, dies suddenly in his sleep. Arlo Cantor could not be revived after he was found unresponsive at his home in Cardiff on Saturday morning. That's in the UK where they're vaccinating everybody but the kitchen sink. Okay, from Mail Online, again, 11/24. Mean Girls star Lacey Chabert reveals her older sister Wendy has died at the age of 46. Daily Record. Tributes paid to strong and beautiful Scott's restaurant boss after sudden death. It's understood Paula Taburo died in her sleep from heart failure at her home in Perth on November 20th. From 7 News. This is from 11/20. It just made the news, though. It came out a couple days later. New York schoolboy 15 suddenly dies during high school basketball tryout. From TV6, Upper Peninsula Army officer who reported prisoner abuses dies at age 42. Major Ian Fishbeck of Newberry, Michigan, died suddenly November 19th, according to his obituary from the Bellevue Funeral Home in Newberry. He was 42. No cause of death was listed. From the Stratfordshire Live, this is 11/25. Tragedy as man dies suddenly in Stafford Street. From WLWT5 on 11/25, Edgewood High School student 16 dies suddenly Thanksgiving Day. He collapsed in the shower. A cause of death has not been determined, and Gagan said he seemed to be a healthy teenager before his death. And from KOLD from 11/26, Tucson detective dies unexpectedly. From 11 News, 11/29, 32-year-old veteran of Pueblo County Sheriff's Office dies unexpectedly. That's a different person from the one just read. From NCPR, this is from 11/29, SUNY Potsdam's interim president died suddenly over the weekend. There you go with died suddenly for the week. And that is not all of them. Those are the ones that just say something like, we don't know why, or, you know, cause of death not reported. I have a feeling that many of those are because of the death shot. All right, going on from the Epoch Times, nearly one-third of U.S. employees in health sector remain unvaccinated, says the CDC, and maybe most of those won't die suddenly. From Extra IE, horrible scenes in Real Madrid's Champions League tie as another player collapses on pitch. The issue of players collapsing has become an uncomfortable sight recently across top-level football. Sheffield United's John Fleck had to be taken to hospital after a serious medical issue during Tuesday's win over Reading. Barcelona striker Sergio Aguero is currently out indefinitely after being forced off with chest pains during a 1-1 draw with Alves last month. This summer also saw the horrific scenes involving Denmark's Christian Eriksen, who suffered a cardiac arrest during the group stage match against Finland. The former Tottenham star has since recovered, but he is no longer permitted to play with his club Inter in Italy after a ruling by medical authorities. From Zero Hedge, another professional soccer player suddenly collapses in the middle of a game. Yet another professional footballer collapsed suddenly in the middle of a game last night during Real Madrid's Champions League tie with Sheriff Tiraspol in Moldova. 26-year-old Sheriff Tiraspol winger Adama Traoré, I guess is how you say his name, was seen clutching his chest as he slumped onto the ground in the 77th minute. From The Telegraph, scientists reject pundits' vaccine theory after three footballers collapse in a week. Well, of course they do, because these are politicians first and scientists second. Their science is not driven by facts. These people all got the jab. Every one of them is collapsing with cardiac problems. I'd say there's a connection. The good thing is that they didn't die. They just collapsed and were taken out, and they're ruined for the rest of their life. They can spend their life in a, you know, an old folks home having people spoon feed them, but at least they're alive. All right, from Zero Hedge, media says rise in soccer player's sudden collapsing is just a coincidence. Of course they do. General Dispatch, stillbursts exploding in Canada from 5 to 86 stillbursts, and the only coincidence is guess what? All of them are fully vaccinated. Yes, from the Epic Times, Omicron variant first detected in 4 fully vaxxed people. South African medical chief only seen very, very mild cases. So first, it's only attacking the vaccinated there. And secondly, it's very mild. But we're going to stop the entire world for this, okay? From the Epic Times, no severe Omicron COVID-19 cases among vaccinated people, top Israeli expert says. What a deceitful thing for that guy to say. At the time he said that, and to this day, there's only 2 cases in the whole country. 2 cases of Omicron. He says there's no serious cases among the vaccinated. Well, guess what? There's only 2 cases in the country, and both of them are fully vaccinated, meaning 2 doses plus a booster. Both of them. From Business Insider, Pfizer said an updated version of its COVID-19 vaccine will be ready in 100 days if the new Omicron variant is resistant to its current vaccine. You got to be kidding me. The current vaccine provides absolutely zero resistance, and the only people that are getting Omicron so far are vaccinated. From Global News, Brian Adams, fully vaccinated, test positive for COVID-19 a second time. He's fully vaccinated, and he's had it twice since he was fully vaccinated. The next thing we're going to hear about Brian Adams is that he has the Omicron variant. That's what we're going to hear. From Mail Online, Florida reports lowest COVID cases per capita in the nation. Despite criticism of Governor DeSantis for his ban on mask and vaccine mandate, Florida is doing just fine, thank you. From The Federalist, the Biden administration just forced every American town to host illegal immigrants. Did you know that? Yes. Under a new policy, federal immigration law enforcement is now largely prohibited from arresting criminal aliens in your neighborhood if you live near a playground, a recreation center, a school, a place of worship, or a religious study, a location that offers vaccinations, such as a pharmacy, a community-based organization, any location that hosts weddings, such as a civic center, hotel, or park, any location with a school bus stop, any place where children gather, and many more places that are common to most towns. What used to be safe spaces for law-abiding Americans and vulnerable members of society have been transformed into safe spaces for violent offenders with no right to be in the United States. The scope is virtually limitless and prohibits all of the authorities of ICE and the CBP concerning arrests, civil apprehensions, searches, inspections, seizures, service of charging documents or subpoenas, interviews, and immigration enforcement surveillance. Officers are prohibited from doing their job anywhere near a so-called protected area, an imprecise standard that Alejandro Mayorkas, the secretary of the DHS, admits has no bright line definition. Mayorkas, who outlined the new policy, claims that putting a sanctuary in every community is a noble way to advance our country's well-being and ensure that illegal aliens have access to essential services and can engage in essential activities. Now, before I go on, I'd like to remind you that all of those categories I read, and there are more on top of that, mean that there is no place where the police can do their job. Nowhere. The United States of America has become a sanctuary nation for illegal immigrants. That is what is happening here. We are now a sanctuary nation where our law enforcement cannot uphold the laws that they are sworn to enforce because the chief enforcement officer of the United States of America, the person who is in the office of president, whether he's actually the president or not, is irrelevant at this point. He will not allow them to do their duty. This is a treasonable offense. Our president is a traitor. If the Congress does not take care of this, if they do not act when they are elected in, because they will be, I'm sure, unless something major happens or if they steal another election, they need to do their job. And if they don't, then they need to be voted out. The man who is in the office of the president right now needs to be impeached. He needs to be convicted. He needs to be tried. And he needs to, at least, at a minimum, be imprisoned for the rest of his life for not doing his sworn duty to protect the citizens of the United States of America. That's what needs to happen to this man. We'll go on. Biden's DHS explains that the limitations don't apply where there's an imminent risk of harm or a hot pursuit, but those are rare circumstances. It means that officers are prohibited from arresting a known child abuser on the same street as a playground unless they observe the alien starting to victimize someone. Of course, officers are prohibited from conducting surveillance near playgrounds anyhow, so officers likely won't be present to stop an assault from happening. To those who live in a neighborhood, near a church, a school, a playground, or near any of the dozens of other locations implicated by this policy, Biden's political appointees have decided that you and your family don't deserve the protection you once had, and that shielding criminal aliens from the law is the top priority. This is the nation in which we're living right now, where the person that's in the office of the President of the United States of America is not doing his job. And nothing is being done about it. He should be impeached. He should be convicted. He should be imprisoned. He is a traitor to the United States of America. And all of the people that are working in his administration should also be imprisoned with him. They are violating the law every single day. They are not doing what they swore to uphold, the duties that they swore to uphold, and they should be imprisoned. We should have an entirely new administration running this country right now. But it's not happening. Zero Hedge. Martin Armstrong warns America is under attack by Marxist globalists. You think? Back in July, legendary geopolitical and financial psychoanalyst Martin Armstrong boldly said, "The system has come to an end. What are we seeing now? There is massive inflation, huge defaults of debt in China, a badly broken supply chain, and a hostile government against we, the people, here in America. It sure looks like the end of this system is near." Armstrong contends it is not an accident that all of this is happening now to the United States because Marxist globalists want to overthrow our constitutional form of government. That's exactly what they want. This is getting to be really absurd. Biden is the perfect person for this. I warned that this election had nothing to do with Trump versus Biden. It was Trump versus a foreign entity that was trying to take over the United States of America. They got their wish. They got somebody in there that really would not be able to figure out left from right. I'm not making derogatory statements against him. This isn't even Biden's agenda. You are lucky if he even understands what's going on. I would disagree with him there. I would say that Biden knows exactly what's going on because he has hated this nation all of his life. He's been a traitor since many, many years ago. He's been double dealing. He's been profiting off of other nations. And he is totally aware of what is going on in this nation. He's just not capable of doing it. He's got people that are pulling his strings and he's willingly going along with it. It's the people behind him. If you look at his polls, they are down to 33%. A politician would normally care about that. You don't see any change because he's not the one doing this. They know he's just a placeholder. They are just moving their agenda through, period. The U.S. is being orchestrated from Geneva. All this Build Back Better stuff was a slogan created at Davos. The U.S. is under attack from a foreign entity. That is true. That means that we have traitors in the administration and that are pulling the strings, and they should all be in prison. That's what should be happening right now. Zero Hedge, former Obama doctor. White House is doing everything they can to hide Biden's obvious cognitive decline. Congressman Ronnie Jackson, who was the former White House physician under Obama and President Trump, declared that the reason Joe Biden has avoided cognitive exams is because he would have failed miserably. And his team didn't do it because they know if they do it, you don't ask questions that you don't want the answers to. Honestly, there were 6 pages of stuff that most people just don't care about. I mean, you know, Dr. O'Connor spent 6 pages addressing like an occasional cough and some stiffness and things like that, when the elephant in the room was the president's cognitive ability. Over 50% of this country does not believe he's cognitively fit to be our commander-in-chief and our head of state. Yet that wasn't addressed anywhere in there. We set the precedent when we did President Trump's physical. I did, Jackson explained, further noting, the far left and the mainstream media were relentless in the pursuit of me to do something to address not only his physical capabilities, but his mental capabilities, which we did. We did a cognitive test. As far as I'm concerned, we set the precedent, and he should have done one as well. From the Epoch Times, state-level Republicans prepare aid for citizens unemployed by vaccine mandates. Good job, governors. Republican officials in Florida, of course, Indiana, Tennessee, and Kansas are preparing state-level aid designed to help those dislocated by Biden's sweeping vaccine mandates. Specifically, GOP lawmakers are looking to change unemployment rules in those states to allow those who are fired or forced to quit due to their refusal to take the CCP virus death shot to be eligible for unemployment benefits. The move comes as deadlines imposed by Biden's unprecedented vaccine mandates inch closer. From Breitbart, Biden to increase U.S. oil lease fees 50% while accusing big oil of anti-competitive activities. Despite record-high gasoline prices impacting American families across the country with winter around the corner, the Biden-Harris administration is recommending Congress hike the cost of oil leases on government lands from 12.5% to 18.75%. The 6.25% royalty rate increase on companies would contradict the admin's promise, which, of course, they're liars, so you're not going to get a valid promise out of them anyway, contradict the admin's promise to lower gasoline prices. In recent weeks, the Biden-Harris administration has asked OPEC to increase oil supplies and requested the FTC conduct an investigation into oil companies for their anti-competitive behavior. The rate increase would generate about an extra $2.5 billion in new revenue by the end of the decade. That's peanuts compared to what they're frittering away every single day, which oil companies would pay to the federal government, though consumers would absorb the increased cost to the companies which they incur. So far, the Biden-Harris administration has collected $1.6 billion more from oil leases in 2021 than in 2020. An increased royalty rate would be the first rate hike since 1920 and would fulfill Biden's campaign promise to global warming activists and the far left. From Breitbart, flashback. Democrats cut Trump's replenishment of oil reserve when prices were cheap. Do you remember this happening? Strike a blow to big oil. In the final months of President Donald Trump's presidency, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was in the spotlight as he tried to replenish it after years of neglect and at a time when oil was cheap. But the Democrats cut it out of a bill it was included in, claiming it was a hit on big oil. Epoch Times. Pennsylvania energy costs to increase up to 50% starting Wednesday. Hey, today is Wednesday. Pennsylvanians will be hit with an increase of up to 50% on their energy bills, according to the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission. Many areas of the state will see potentially large winter energy cost increases. Most Pennsylvania regulated electric utilities are adjusting the price they charge for the generation portion of customers' bills on December 1st for non-shopping customers, also known as the price to compare. From Red State, Biden's BBB bill will give you $12,500 if you buy an electric car, unless it's a Tesla, that is. And yet another example that powerful teachers' unions and labor unions enjoy joint custody of Biden and the Democrat Party. The ridiculously named socialist monstrosity Build Back Better Act contains a provision that provides a tax credit of up to $12,500 to purchasers of electric vehicles other than Teslas. Why not Teslas? Three words: United Auto Workers Union. Only electric vehicles made in unionized U.S. factories qualify for the $12,500. However, if Tesla must be, your tax credit would be capped at $7,500. From Breitbart, Bidenflation causes Dollar Tree to raise prices by 25% to $125. Now, I know why they did this. It's because if you've ever bought a sign for a building, they're really expensive. So all the Dollar Trees in America that are going to have to be dollar and a quarter trees now are going to spend billions of dollars making new signs, and it's going to boot up the economy. That's his plan. I'm pretty sure of that. Okay, from Fox, oil reserves released by Biden expected to primarily go to where? To the U.S. citizens? No, to China and India. Biden's move to tap the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve is expected to supply Chinese and Indian oil needs as gas demands have led to global shortages. The White House said the Department of Energy will release 50 million barrels of oil held in U.S. reserves, 18 million of which have already been congressionally approved for sale. China and India have been actively purchasing U.S. sour crude oil produced in the Gulf of Mexico. The White House's Tuesday announcement means the U.S. will seek to accelerate sales abroad in an attempt to counter spiking prices at the gas pump. Their gas pump, not ours. Breitbart, Joe Biden addresses high gas prices. Americans can save money if they buy electric cars. And of course, you'll be funding the United Auto Workers Union. So it's a boon for them and it's a boon for you, right? From the Epoch Times, now that Rittenhouse is acquitted, can Officer Kelly have his job back? Have you ever heard of Officer Kelly? I bet you haven't. The acquittal of Kyle Rittenhouse produced a number of immediate changes beyond the custodial status of the 18-year-old himself. GoFundMe lifted its ban on people contributing to his defense after his defense was over and the verdict was in. Some media outlets finally reported on evidence that supported his self-defense claims, and one critic called for revisiting the clearly biased reporting in the case. However, there is one person whose status has not changed, Norfolk Police Officer William Kelly, who was fired for simply donating to the Rittenhouse Defense Fund and writing a supportive note as a private citizen. He made the comment and donation anonymously. The only thing more shocking than Kelly's loss of his job is that Norfolk City Manager Chip Filer and Police Chief Larry Boone have retained theirs. The termination occurred after Kelly made a $25 donation to the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. He made the donation anonymously and added the comment, "God bless. Thank you for your courage. Keep your head up. You've done nothing wrong. Every rank and file police officer supports you." Early in the Rittenhouse case, activists sought to cut off Rittenhouse's ability to raise money for his defense by harassing donors and successfully pressuring companies like GoFundMe to block contributions. A criminal defense in any case, let alone a high-profile case with ramped-up prosecution teams, is hugely expensive. That financial threat can prompt some to plead guilty. That is why people want to help fund such defenses to guarantee true access to a fair trial. Activists and GoFundMe did everything it could to block such efforts and increase the pressure on this teenager to just plead guilty. Back to Kelly. This is an officer who had served for almost 20 years when he decided to contribute to the defense. As a police officer, Kelly likely saw the defense grounds more clearly than most people. The jury ultimately agreed with his view that Rittenhouse acted in self-defense. Nevertheless, activists learned his identity and demanded his termination. Filer rushed to satisfy the mob. He fired Kelly with the support of Boone and declared his egregious comments erode the trust between the Norfolk Police Department and those they are sworn to serve. The egregious comments were to say anonymously that there are officers who support Rittenhouse and believe in his defense. Kelly has pointed out that Boone was allowed in uniform to march with Black Lives Matter protesters, yet He was fired for anonymously making the supportive donation and statement to a legal defense fund. Various public officials, including Kamala Lama Ding Dong Harris, have contributed to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which pays criminal bail and immigration bonds for those who cannot otherwise afford to, as we seek to end discriminatory, coercive, and oppressive jailing. They have the right to support such legal defense funds, which serve to assure that litigants have the means to defend themselves. So does Kelly. He ought to get his job back, and I think people ought to email those folks and tell them that he ought to get his job back. Zero Hedge. Tourists are flocking to Florida in greater numbers than before the pandemic. Good stuff. We're filling up in Florida with tourists because they don't want to be where they are. They're sick of being in these places that are locked down all the time. More than 32 million travelers poured into Florida in July, August, and September, exceeding the number of visitors during the same period in 2019 before the CCP virus pandemic. It was the second consecutive quarter of growth in domestic visitors, with 31.2 million Americans flocking to the Sunshine State in the third quarter of the year, according to Visit Florida, the state's official tourism marketing corporation. That number was up from pre-pandemic numbers by almost 7%. Meanwhile, across the country, the total number of domestic travel tips was expected to reach 85% of the 2019 level. And international arrivals to the U.S. overall were expected to reach only 27% of pre-pandemic levels. Said plainly, what they're trying to tell you is that coming to Florida now, the people that are coming here to Florida now, are geometrically more with tourists than we were before the pandemic, because the number of people that are traveling right now is much lower, and yet we have more people in Florida than we ever did before. So Florida is doing the right thing, and people understand that, and they want to be here. They're coming down here in droves to enjoy the sunshine, the freedom, and maybe look around for houses so that they can move here and live not in a communist regime, but under a governor that understands what the Constitution of the United States means. All right, next article, Zero Hedge. Antifa member. Now, if this doesn't make you angry, please don't ever watch another one of these reports, because this should really make you angry. Antifa member who took axe to Senate office, given probation and his axe back. Now, remember, we had old grandmothers that were up at the January 6th thing that are sitting in prison right now that didn't do anything. They're sitting in prison and they're being persecuted in prison by people. The vulgar things that are being done to them are incredible. Citizens of the United States of America that did absolutely nothing wrong, they're being treated as terrorists. This guy is an Antifa member that took an axe and whacked through the door of a Senate office, and nothing happened to him. We have been discussing the continued incarceration of many individuals for their participation in the January 6th riot. Despite claims that the riot was an insurrection, the vast majority of defendants have been given relatively minor charges. Nevertheless, the Justice Department has insisted on holding many without bail, and some have received longer sentences. Thomas Tass Alexander Starks, 31, of Lisbon, North Dakota, faced a strikingly different approach by the Justice Department. The self-avowed Antifa member took an axe to the office of Senator John Hovens in Fargo on December 21, 2020. Federal sentencing guidelines suggested 10 to 16 months in prison, but he was only sentenced to probation and fined $2,784 for restitution. He then reportedly mocked the FBI for returning his axe. Others declared him a hero, and Democratic politicians pitched in for his legal defense. Starks was caught on videotape axing the door of the congressional office. He pleaded guilty to a single charge of destruction of government property. The case has received little attention from the media outside of conservative sites. Starks has made clear that he was neither apologetic nor deterred from the use of such violence. He has posted under the Facebook moniker Paul Dunyan, an apparent reference to his preferred use of an axe as a form of political expression. He displays the Antifa symbol and, while awaiting sentencing, reportedly wrote, "I am Antifa. I will always attack fascists, racial superiority complexes built around nationalism that promotes genocide to fuel a war machine is the worst humanity has to offer. It is reminiscent of the defiance shown by arrested Antifa member Jason Charter, who declared the movement is winning after his own arrest. After his light sentence, Starks posted last month that it was all effectively a joke. Look what the FBI were kind enough to give back to me, showing off his little axe that he chopped up government property with and nothing was done to him. Remember these people up there from January 6th? Just grandmas, half of them, walking around, milling around. They were let in by people from the U.S. government. They were allowed to walk around and then they were arrested as domestic terrorists. And we got this kind of filth going on in this nation. Unbelievable. Gateway Pundit. Russia starts mass-producing unstoppable Zircon hypersonic missiles. In July, Russia test-fired its new 6,100-mile-per-hour hypersonic Zircon missile. The weapon is capable of evading all Western defenses. Vladimir Putin ordered the mass production of the Zircon missile following successful testing. The Kremlin boasts that the weapon, which carries a conventional or nuclear warhead, is unstoppable. From Zero Hedge, 34% of white college applicants lied about race to improve chances of getting accepted. 34% of white college student applicants have lied about their race to admissions officials to better their chances of getting accepted into their desired university or receive better financial aid. The most popular racial claim was Native American. Out of 34%, 77% were accepted. Though lying on college applications is frowned upon, universities typically do not push back on students about their race. Instead, they accept it regardless of what they look like. Why lie? Here's my thought. Why lie? If a man can identify as a woman nowadays, a white can surely identify as a black or a brown or a yellow or an orange man. It doesn't make any difference. You identify with what you want to identify with. It's not lying. You just say, this is my identification. I'm a black female today, okay? That's what you need to do. From The Blaze. General Mills planning major price hikes on hundreds of items across dozens of brands amid inflation, supply chain crisis. Some items go up by 20%. Yes, your dollars were 20% less because of the person that's sitting in the White House right now. From Zero Hedge, how California solved its record ship pileup. They don't have a ship problem anymore. Did you know that? Here's how they solved it. It moved them out of sight. Over the horizon, so people don't have to see the ships all waiting out there, but they're out there. From Weasel Zippers, New York City man arrested 3 times in 36 hours. And they just keep letting him out, keep letting him out. Zero Hedge, ESPN, good news here. ESPN hemorrhaging subscribers down to 76 million as Disney scrambles to stem the tide. Good. These woke institutions all need to go out of business. They need to be replaced with people that have a proper respect for the Lord and for the Constitution of the United States of America. Well, this is the end of the report. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to the book of Ephesians, and I want to read you something. All right? In Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words. If I can ever get there, pages are kind of sticking together. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read you starting in verse 14. For he himself, speaking of Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus Christ is the one that reconciles us to the Father. God is angry at sin. We have sin. God cannot fellowship with us. But because of what Christ did, he has reconciled us to the Father. Reconciliation is something like a bridge. You have a piece of land here, and you've got a piece of land here, and you need to bridge the two, you build what we call a bridge. It's something that goes across the span, and it joins those two places together. Well, we have an infinite span between us and our Heavenly Father because we have sinned. He's outside of time. He's in the infinite realm. We are temporal. We are in time, and we are going this way. We were born in sin. We keep sinning through our life, and we can never go back and undo it. Time goes this way, folks. And because it's going ahead, we cannot go back. We cannot undo what was done. And therefore, there is an infinite gulf between us and our Heavenly Father. But Jesus Christ came to resolve that issue. He is fully God, and he is fully man. And so he can take his humanity, and he can place his hand on our head, and he can say, I accept this one because he has accepted what I have done on his behalf. And then he can take his divine hand, his infinite glorious hand, and he can stretch it out to the Heavenly Father, and he can say, I defend this one. I am the mediator for him. I am the advocate for him. I am the bridge which will bring you to back to reconciliation. He is our peace. And this is what God has done in Jesus Christ. And all he asks you to do is to simply believe the simple gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, meaning we're sinners. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. If you can believe that premise, that God would do that to reconcile us to himself, the Bible says that you will be saved. And when you do, you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is a promise of our deliverance from this world. It is the guarantee of our redemption, so that someday Christ will come again and he will bring us to himself in the presence of God for all eternity. So please call on Jesus Christ. Allow him to be the bridge which spans the infinite void between you and God, and call on him. And then praise him for all of eternity for what he has done. Yes, thank God for Jesus Christ, our Lord. So such is the world in which we live. And from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and everywhere else in between, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your midweek CG report.